Hi, welcome to the Meg Pearson Podcast, Fertile at 40. I'm your host, Meg Pearson. After many health complications due to alcohol addiction and an eating disorder that ruled my world for close to 20 years, I was told I would never have children. At 38, I naturally and surprisingly fell pregnant, and the transition from maiden to mother was wrought with love, grief, excitement, and healing. Becoming a mama was about far more than just soothing stitches and learning how to care for a tiny human. It was, and still is, a relearning of who I am and what I am truly capable of. After over two challenging years trying to conceive a second baby since, I gratefully and naturally conceived my second child just as I turned 41, after three losses and heaps of heartache. I am a doula in training, holistic chef, teacher of yoga, and a childbirth educator, and I am here to share my story because I know it's not just mine. Join me each week for unbiased convos with a no-bullshit approach to faith, infertility, conscious conception, and connected pregnancy, with birth stories, expert interviews, and personal anecdotes to help tell the story of creation. Welcome. Now let's do this. Welcome to this episode of Fertile at 40 Podcast, guys. I'm so excited to have my guest here today. Priscilla is amazing. This woman is incredible. She's a mother of three, aged three and under, and is also a pediatric dietitian and founder of Baby to Table Nutrition. Pri focuses on child and family nutrition, and she's passionate about helping parents feed their children with confidence and joy from the start. And isn't that what we all want? On today's episode, we get right into a conversation about the three main methods for introducing solids to our babies, the pros and cons of each, and we also touch on the importance of acknowledging our own family's needs when it comes to choosing the best way to nourish our littles. Let's get right into it. One last thing before we get into the conversation, I want to remind you that this podcast provides general information and discussion about natural medicine, health, pregnancy, and childbirth related subjects. The content here should not be taken as medical advice, and the content here is for informational purposes only, and because each person is so unique, please consult with your healthcare professional for any medical questions. Now, on with the show. Hello, Priscilla. Thank you so much for joining me on the show. Welcome.
Hello, Meg. So thanks so much for having me here.
So tell me and our listeners, I know I've just gave you a big introduction, but I would love to hear from you, from your mouth, who you are and who do you help?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm Priscilla, but a lot of people call me Pri. So feel free to call me Pri. I am originally from Brazil and I have been in the US for about 10 years now. I am a dietitian and I am a full-time mom now to three little ones, three and under. And I love and passionate about helping parents just to start solids and introduce new foods to the little ones and then set up a good foundation for them to be good eaters and for the whole family to have happy and healthy eaters at the table. Yeah, and then when I'm not working with parents, I am with my little ones, you know, helping them eat healthily and be happy little kids.
So I have to ask you this question because yeah. I'm a holistic chef. I'm all about vegetables and getting, you know, I've been getting clients to eat more plants for over a decade now. And here I have a 2.5-year-old who hates green vegetables and won't touch them. How are your kids? Do they eat their vegetables? Mm-hmm.
The second one, so I have a 3-year-old, almost four. So I have almost 4-year-old, I have a 2 and I have a 3-month-old. So I think it's just something with the firstborn. I have seen with my own and friends and family that they seem to be more picky or more selective than the other ones. And I think it's like as first parents, you know, we are trying, we're learning the first thing. And then, he's a little bit more picky, but he still eats. He has his favorites, like he loves tomatoes, he'll eat a broccoli. But I think that's very typical of toddler. I posted recently on my page a little video about neophobia, which is a phase that kids tend to go, can start around 2, but sometimes even early as 1-year-old. And most of the time it goes until kids like 6 or 7 start getting better around their age of 6 or 7. But it's just a phase that they are like, literally the mini sphere of new foods. So they are just more skeptical, you know, that's why sometimes they don't try new foods or the foods that they have been eating, they stop eating, or if you prepare in a different way. That's just like as a normal phase that kids go through. Now, how we as parents, as caregivers, how we go about can make a huge difference in the future. Like if we are pressuring them too much or forcing them to eat, or if we're caving to only offering what the child wants to eat, we might end up with a very extreme peak eater in the future. So there are ways of you navigate that phase that you still expose the child to new foods, but respecting their limits, you know, kind of challenge, but at the same time, you know, respecting the limits to help them expand their diet and then enjoy new and different foods and vegetables and all those healthy foods in the future.
Okay. So I want to talk about all of these. And I know that maybe I'll have you back on the show and we'll do a whole episode about, you know, the biggest mistakes parents make, because I know I look back and I know all of the mistakes that I've made with my daughter from the beginning. I mean, and some that I'm not even sure if they're the reason. So we'll talk about that. Maybe I'll have you back on for another episode to talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, perfect. Okay, so today, what I would love to touch on is, and a lot of when I've posted on my social media asking my, parents and parents to be what they want to hear about when it comes to feeding their children, a lot of them have expressed confusion about the best way to begin introducing solids and when, right? So let's talk about this, because there is a lot of different ways. I know I really wanted to do toddler-fed
Baby fed weaning.
Yeah, baby fed weaning. But then I got super scared because of the choking hazards, and I ended up leaning on a lot of purees. So, and I know that there are lots of different ways that we can go about introducing solids. So let's talk about that. When people come to you and say, okay, my baby's approaching the 6 month mark, what do I do? What, you know, how do we do answer that?
Yeah. So there are basically three ways to start solids, just to make very simple. So the first one is what we call traditional, which is purees, you know, spoon feeding the baby. Basically, you have different stages. You start off the food very, very, very smooth purees, and you move to more lumpy. And the goal is to get to finger foods. So you just kind of have more stages, and there's everything puree. Most of the time with the traditional approach, the parent is feeding the puree to the baby, either with a spoon. Today we have pouches, we have different tools that you can use for that. So that's one approach, the traditional or purees. The second one is baby-led weaning, which have been gaining more traction over the last, I want to say, 10 or 15 years. But it's actually a method that always existed, you know, especially parents of a second, third, or fourth child. But, you know, by the second, third child, they're just like, here's a piece of food. You know, they're a lot more confident, you know, it's like we have, you know, been taking care of a two-year-old, the baby's not choking. So they become a little more confident about giving more pieces of food. So parents who are doing that, and they realize that, and they start studying and watching the parents actually giving pieces of food instead of starting with purees. And then they name that baby-led weaning, which is basically, for the most part, you skip that puree phase and you go straight to finger foods. Of course, you modify the foods to make them safe according to baby's age and stage of development. But basically, it's pieces of food, and a baby have the autonomy to take the piece of food and bring it to the mouth on their own.
So when you talk about modify, what are you referring to that? Like just like different cuts, different cooking techniques? Is that what you mean?
Yes. Yes. Each food is going to be different, how you're going to modify, but basically you want to make sure that the texture is a safe texture, which is soft enough for them to mush with their gums, you know? Right. So usually what I tell parents, if you can smash between your fingers or between your tongue and the roof of your mouth, is usually a good texture for baby. The shapes depend on what age the baby your baby is, they're going to be able to do different things with their hands, hand coordination. So we want to cut that food accordingly. So younger babies usually need to have bigger pieces. And as they get older, again, their pincer grasp movement, you can start moving to a smaller piece. That's just a general guidelines. Okay. On my page and my website, there is way more resources about like detail of each single food, because each food is different, you know, like how you offer vegetables is not the same way you offer meats. But basically that you want a texture and shapes and sizes that are safe for baby to bring to mouth and eat independently. Yeah. Okay. So traditional baby-led weaning. And the third one, it's basically a mix of the two. You can call it a mixed approach or a combo approach, or some have named the baby-led feeding instead of baby-led weaning. Because some people that promote baby-led weaning, they say if you do a little ounce of puree, it's not baby-led weaning anymore. You know, right. It's just more a matter of classification. So they have this category of baby-led feeding where you basically mix both. Some parents, the mice, do a few months with purees and move to finger foods, you know, without like doing the different stages of purees, or they might offer the same at the same time that they are offering a little piece of roasted sweet potato, they might offer, you know, broccoli puree, for example. So there are those three different approaches, the traditional baby led weaning and the third one where you mix both. And of course you follow both guidelines. You still want to make sure that the texture, size, and shapes are safe to baby, for baby to eat.
So this makes it a lot simpler because I know when I was, you know, had my first daughter and I started to approach the 6 month mark. I mean, I think we waited closer to 7 or 8 months because I was just terrified about the idea about feeding my daughter. And she was doing formula and at that point, and who was thriving and wasn't really all that interested in food. But when it came to deciding, I felt a lot of pressure, because of the world that I live in. I live in a hippie granola, super conscious parenting world, which is, you know, all really, really beautiful thing. But I felt a lot of pressure to follow the baby-led weaning protocol because there seems to be the belief that it is, you know, better for the child. But let's speak to, if you could, some of the pros and cons to each technique, because I think that there are for all of them, right?
Yeah, absolutely. First, I want to tell every parent that is there, regardless what is your parenting style, that not one size fits all. And that's true for feeding your baby as well. So what I usually tell parents when they come and they are trying to decide, first, we want to look into what are your goals as a parent? What is your family dynamic? You know, all the different approaches, they can be successful. You can raise a child that is going to enjoy eating, they're going to thrive, is going to get the nutrition that they need. With all three different styles, you're just getting the resources, the education, the information that you need. In terms of choosing each one, it's a matter of figuring out what's going to fit better into your family life. If you are a parent that is a little bit more fearful of choking, you know, that it might make more sense maybe start with more traditional, and as you gain more confidence and as you get more comfortable, move on, you know, to finger foods. So all three, there are ways of you offer the food safely. The benefit of the traditional weaning, as I said, it is depending where you are as a parent. If you are more fearful, if you are more anxious, maybe it would be better to start there. Depend on your family dynamic. If it is your child is staying more like with a caregiver of daycare and they are not willing, or they don't have the knowledge, you know, or the time to watch the child, you know, give all that attention while they are eating this food. All these styles, we recommend to be supervising your child, but definitely with baby-led weaning, because you are offering the pieces of food, kind of requires a little bit more attention, but you want always to be with your child. So if your child is going to be with a caregiver that is not maybe willing to learn or cannot, you know, be doing that, maybe it might be better to start with purees, and as your child gain more skills, move on. So that's one benefit of the traditional weaning, you know, depending on that situation. With baby-led weaning, because the child is starting right away, bringing pieces to mouth, the huge benefit is because you can pretty much feed the same food that the family is eating, and you have little modifications. You can do that with purees as well, but again, there is that extra step of you having to mush everything rather than giving the pieces. The child start early on to be independent in terms of eating. So all those skills of hand-eye coordination, bring food to mouth, they might develop earlier compared to a child that started on purees. But at the end of the day, if you are, if your goal as a parent is to raise an independent eater and you are moving, you know, you're having graduating your child, you know, from smooth purees to lump purees to finger foods, they all are going to get there. Might be in different speeds, but they all will get there. The mixed approach, which actually is my favorite, is the one that I did with my little ones. I feel that is a little more free in terms of giving your options. You know, if it is a week or a month that you might need to do more pouches or more purees, you don't feel that pressure, oh, because I'm doing baby led weaning, oh, because I'm in that group of parents. If I do that, I commit the sin, you know? So I feel that mixing both gives you that freedom, that space to be flexible. And I think when starting solids, it's very important to be flexible. So you are still have that flexibility, but getting that advantage of both methods, the traditional and the baby led weaning. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I think, I don't think there's any other more judgmental in like area of life than parenting and motherhood, right? Mm-hmm. And I shouldn't say motherhood because it's parenting in general, because a lot of children are being raised by people other than their mother, their fathers, their grandmothers, who knows, right? But
yeah.
And I found that was a big thing for me. And it wasn't that I was actually feeling pressure from people in my community, because honestly, I didn't have very many mothers with babies my age when I was bringing my daughter into this world of eating food. It was just, I had read, there are a lot of people out there that are very, very adamantly pro and against different ways of doing it, you know? And I remember reading, you know, if you're not doing baby-led weaning, then your child is going to grow up with a bad relationship with food, that they're never going to eat vegetables, that they're not going to feel the individualization that they need to experience. And that was a big reason for me why I felt like I needed to do that. Now, it did not, I was panicked. Kobe coughed a little bit on one of the first things that we gave her. And that was kind of the end of it for me. And like you said, I work outside of the home a lot. And so I do have caregivers that are here that I didn't feel 100%, you know, comfortable leaving with Kobe to eat full finger food. So I definitely found that the like mixed combo was really, really, really helpful for our family. And I know, I just think it's really important that people that are listening, that they do really understand that it has to be whatever's best for their children. And no matter how I think you feed your child, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, they're going to go through a phase probably where they're going to be picky and you can't really blame it on how you introduce the food, can you?
Yeah. Yeah. So as I said, that neophobia phase, right, it is common for most children to go through. Some kids, there is a little bit more aggravated, a little bit more selective than others. What you can do as a parent when you introduce solids is taking advantage of a phase. So babies, when they are, you know, they're starting solids until they are two, so they are more likely to accept the foods that you put in front of them. So what you can do is expose them to as many flavors and varieties of food, regardless of the style that you're feeding. But if you are giving a balanced diet of lots of varieties, in a positive environment, you know, most likely that child is going to have a positive relationship with food. It's way less about the method and more about the environment that you're creating for your child. If it is a positive, you know, that you are having variety, they are being exposed to different types of food, that will help you to minimize that phase, you know, and the way you go about that phase, if they get there and when they get there, also has a huge impact on how, you know, they're going to get out of that phase and continue for longer than they should.
Right. And then one last question.
Yeah.
When should we start our babies on solids?
That's a big age, right? Like with everything in parenting, there are so many recommendations, and there is new research and they change and all of that. So as of now, based on all the evidence that we have, because the recommendation has changed so much throughout the years, but as of now, the recommendation of the main organizations like World Health Organization, American Academy of Pediatrics, and so many others, it is basically the range is between 4 to 6 months of age is when they see that babies are going to meet a series of milestones that show us that they are ready to start solids. Some of those milestones is being, for example, being able to sit up straight. Not that the baby needs to put themselves in that position, but that they can, you know, be straight, even if you prop them with pillows around, they're not falling to the sides and backwards. That they are able to bring things to mouth is another one. That they have good head and neck control, just some of them. So those are just some signs that show us that the baby's getting, you know, could be ready for solid. Another one is the baby showing interest in food. And sometimes that can be confused for parents because we're holding them at the table and they're looking, you know, at the food and saying that they want. So that's kind of a trick one because babies are going to be interested in anything they hold in your hand. So with a 3-month-old, like I have a 3-month-old now, and a lot of times I'm nursing her at the table or holding her as I'm eating, you know, just mom life. And then she's looking at, but not necessarily she's, you know, ready because her head and neck control, she can not even roll yet. So watching, you know, the milestones that they are hitting and the interest in food is a good way together with the age, which is that range between 4 and 6 months. A lot of organizations like really encourage patients to parents to wait as much as possible for the baby to be close to that 6-month mark. And the reason for that is because a lot of studies have shown that waiting until 6 months is actually can protect the baby from some infections, like infections, digestive infections, right? Because they see that the digestive system and immune system is more ready for 6 months. And some babies, in terms of their development, they might be ready a little bit later. You know, like you said yourself, that you wait maybe because you're a little bit more anxious about starting solids with your little one. You wait until she was 7 or 8 months. But some babies, sometimes their system is going to just be ready then if they are born preterm or if they have some other medical conditions or just because that's their time, you know. Right. So waiting baby's time is the best way to go about when you start solids. But that range of 4 to 6 months and watching the milestones is the best factors to be looking at.
Amazing. Oh my goodness. We could talk about so much more, but we're going to leave it at that today. I know that you have some amazing resources available online, including a quick start guide to solids. Can you tell us a little bit more about that and where people can find you online, your website and all of that good stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. So the quick start guide to solids is it's totally free. So anyone can go to my website, babytotablenutrition.com, or on social media. On Instagram, I am at babytotable, and on Facebook, I am at babytotablenutrition. And in those different platforms, website, Instagram, and Facebook, somewhere is going to be the link there. If you don't find it, shoot me a message and I will send you away. But the guide pretty much answered those basic first questions that you have when you are about to start solids. If your baby, when do we start? The different approach that we discussed here, what are some of the best first foods? So the basic questions just to get you started and getting that confidence of feeding your little one. Some other resources that we have there, we have a free food library with different foods that is telling you how to cut, how to prepare, depending on your babe's Asian stage of development with some videos and pictures. And we have some resources for parents that want to go beyond. We have the Baby to Table Club, which is a membership that you can join and have access to more resources and access to me to help you with that. That's a wonderful phase that is feeding little ones.
Amazing. Thank you so, so much for all of this super important information, Pri, and we'll be having you on the show again very soon.
Yeah, thank you so much. This was so fun.
Thanks so much for listening. Please, if you would be so kind, I would be grateful if you could share, subscribe, rate, and review the show. Please follow the show over on Instagram at Fertile at 40 Podcast and share what you thought about this week's episode. Don't forget to tag us. For more info on today's show, please head on over to the podcast website at meganpearson.ca/podcast. Until next time.